in the bulletin. What Jesus do you worship? That may seem like a strange question, and you might be thinking, Pastor, what do you mean, what Jesus do I worship? I worship the Jesus who speaks to me in the words of the Bible. I speak and believe of the Jesus who's revealed himself to us. What do you mean, what Jesus do you worship? What I'm getting at when I ask that question is that we tend to pick and choose the words of Jesus that we find in the Bible. And more often than not, we pick the words of Jesus that comfort us, that assure us of his love and forgiveness, that extend to us that wonderful promise of eternal life. We worship the Jesus of comfort and love and peace. But the Jesus who spoke those words of comfort and love and peace is the exact same Jesus who spoke the words in our gospel lesson this morning. The words in our gospel lesson this morning are indeed hard words, harsh words, discomforting words. Jesus challenges anything less than total commitment to following him. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Those are truly hard and harsh words from Jesus. What Jesus do you worship? Please note that Jesus is not calling us to hate our family members or even to hate our own life. Jesus is speaking in a comparative sense. He's calling us to love him more, to follow him first, to put him in first place. He is calling us to live a life of radical discipleship where other relationships and situations and priorities fade and pale in comparison to that one thing that is truly needful, a living and vital relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your reaction to Jesus' words in our gospel lesson this morning, to his pointed call for total commitment, might be the same as mine. I can't do that. I can't do that. I want to follow you, Jesus. I really do. I believe in you. I trust in you. I seek to follow you, Jesus. But I can't do that to the level of commitment that you're talking about this morning. I don't always love you above all things. Other relationships, other commitments, other priorities, they come in and they start to crowd you out and push you to the side, and my focus becomes more those things than it does you. And those things get in the way of following you. At times, they do become a higher priority, and I follow them and love them more than I do you. So what do we do with this reality? What do we do as we hear these challenging words of Jesus? What do we do with a sermon and a core value to our life together as a community following Jesus that calls us to follow Jesus first. I can't do that. You can't do that. You're right. But Jesus can, and Jesus did. Jesus lived a life of total commitment to the Father. He literally took up his cross for you and for me. He renounced the glories of heaven to enter into human flesh and come to this earth to be our Savior. He renounced the comforts of this life to humble himself, to suffer, and to die for you and for me, including for those times when we don't follow Jesus first. For the joy set before him, that is to save you and me, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame, that you and I might have his gift of forgiveness and new life. Discipleship at its core is imitating Jesus. It is reading, marking, learning, inwardly digesting the words of Jesus and the life of Jesus so that little by little and bit by bit, our life looks more like Jesus. And so we gather as the people of God to listen, to learn, to grow, to reflect. And so we immerse ourselves in that living Word of God that molds us and forms us, that challenges us, that changes us. What Jesus do we worship? We worship the Jesus who loves us and comforts us and brings us peace and God's gift of forgiveness, and the very same Jesus who calls us to a life of total commitment and sacrifice and service. That life of imitation of Jesus does not happen by a self-resolve to do so. It is not an act of the will by which it happens that we're going to do better and try harder. A life of imitation of Jesus happens as we remember that you and I are baptized into Christ, that we belong to Christ, that we are in Christ, that the life we live for Christ and to his glory. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, when we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were buried with him into death by baptism, dying to sin and rising to a new life. A new life of discipleship, a new life of imitating Jesus. Imitating Jesus always begins with whose we are, baptized daughters and sons of the Savior. Put another way, the call to discipleship is always connected to the cross. Imitating Christ always begins and continues with our identity as those for whom Christ died, for whom our sins are paid by his blood. Remember those beautiful words in the baptismal liturgy when the pastor says over the one being baptized, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both on your forehead and upon your heart, as one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified." You and I, marked with that cross of Christ, you and I, splashed with those life-giving baptismal waters, you and I, dying daily to that old way of life that leads to death. You and I arising daily to that new life in Christ that desires to follow Him. A new life of imitating Jesus. May God bless us in that daily renewal, that daily response, that daily recommitment to follow Jesus first. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.